You're listening to SBS News.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the SBS On the Money Markets podcast for this Friday, the 19th of December, 2025, a day where the Australian share market rose, the S&P ASX 200 up 0.5% to 8,628. Eight of the 11 sectors in the 200 finishing higher, information technology the best, followed by financial stocks and the industrial sector. And those stocks that did poorly yesterday basically did well today. The best performing Drone Shield up by 9%. Boss Energy, which had a pretty poor day yesterday, rising by 9% today. Paladin Energy also doing well. So those lithium stocks climbing today. The worst performers include Fortescue Metals, down by around 3%. Premier Investments off by 4.2%. And the biggest loser today, Netwealth, down by 5.8%. The real story today, though, is that of global interest rates, because late this afternoon, the Bank of Japan lifted rates by 25 basis points to a three-decade high of 0.75%. We saw the Bank of England overnight dropped rates by 25 basis points to 3.75%, while the ECB basically held its key interest rate at 2%. The other big figure is that of US inflation. That eased to 2.7% in November. There was no data, though, out in October because of the US government shutdown. So it probably needs another set of numbers to confirm whether or not inflation there is actually deflationary. What will it mean for interest rates? Well, to find out, I spoke with Marjabeen Zaman, the head of FX at ANZ, to find out. Marjabeen, inflation in the US has eased to an annual rate of 2.7%. To what extent does that increase the chance of an interest rate cut in the US? And more importantly, I guess, when?
Look, I think still there is a little bit of skepticism around the result to start with the surprise being well beyond typical historic norms. Now, this really stems from the fact that there was a lot of uncertainty around shutdown impacts, since it's unknown to the extent to which the data collection for this CPI number may have contributed to the a little bit abnormal reading, and whether the underlying impact had from the shutdown have played a role. Now, I think that the December reading, which comes out in January, may help to clarify whether this is indeed an anomaly or a real sense of, you know, serious disinflation in the US. And now that data point comes well before the next Fed decision. Now, our expectation is that we expect a resumption of disinflation to continue in the US in 2026. We also think that there will be cooling in the labor market, and there's growing evidence that tariff-driven price rises are transitory. And as a result, we expect the Federal Reserve to cut two times in 2026, first in Q1 and the second in Q2.
Okay. So what about the rest of the world? Are they also on a path to lower interest rates?
You know, it's really a mixed picture out there with the Federal Reserve easing. Bank of England cut rates yesterday while the European Central Bank has been on hold. RBNZ has concluded its easing cycle, we think. And Bank of Japan, look, I think, you know, has rate hikes priced in. So market expectations for the RBA even, you know, are on the edge of possibly hiking maybe next year. So again, I think 2026 is going to be a year of central bank divergence. And we know that interest rates are a key driver for FX.
Okay, let's explore that Australian forecast then, because we know that inflation data is due out early next month. Well, there's two sets of inflation data in January. ANZ is expecting a 0.3% increase for November to be up 3.7% through the year, trimmed mean at 3.3%. So that would still be above the RBA's comfort band of 2 to 3%. How likely do you think this is to feed through to the market's expectations of possible rate rises in 2026?
Look, while we expect the RBA to keep cash rate at 3.6%, there is a risk of a rate hike in early 2026. Indeed, if the RBA does increase interest rates in 2026, we do think that it is more likely that this will occur in the first half of the year than the second. We do get the RBA minutes next week, and I think we expect them to read a little bit on the more hawkish side of things, consistent with Governor Bullock's tone at the post-meeting press conference.
So how is all of this then playing out on currency markets? Because we know that the Aussie against the US, it's up around 7% so far this year.
Look, I think the US dollar is front and center of all FX. So overall, we see a weaker US dollar with the Federal Reserve easing. There's potentially a new chair at the Fed next year who's likely to be more dovish than the current one. And at the same time, this comes at a time where expectations of other central banks in the world to think about hiking. So, of course, that rate divergence will likely see a weaker USD versus other currencies. One of the things we get asked a lot more recently is the AI boom. Is the AI boom a return of US exceptionalism? And, which can then translate into a stronger US dollar. We think that this AI boom is just not a US story. It's a global story. Korea, Taiwan, China, they're all on the table as part of this supply chain for the AI. And as a result, if this AI boom is to continue, let's say in the coming years, we think it'll be a more of a global growth story rather than a US growth story. So we don't think this is really a return of US exceptionalism. Last but not least, of course, fiscal disparity also matters for currencies and the US dollar. Now, the US sits on a larger fiscal deficit than many other countries. So does Japan. And this has implications for currencies. Some countries are in fiscal expansion mode, again, US, Japan, while other economies are looking to consolidate on the fiscal side. So again, there'll be push and pull for these different currencies.
Okay, so finally, wrapping everything that we've just discussed, what are you then telling your clients as we head into the new year?
Look, I think geopolitics will be front and center as there was this year. Developments in AI are key to watch. Diverging central bank policy is going to be an important driver of FX and markets. I think these are the key elements of the year ahead.
It's Marsha Beenzaman there, head of FX research at ANZ, and she wraps up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click that subscribe button, and I'll see you next week.